ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Brahmani Shartahe Tahate Praman Krishna Lagi Patiagi Chalike Chalike Na Chalile Chalike Chalika Pran. Okay. Well, we have to read the previous verse. Isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object? For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Purport. This refers to the day Lord Shri Krishna and his cowherd boys and flocks of animals were present in the pasturing grounds near Mathura. At that time, cowherd boys, being a little hungry, requested food. And Lord Krishna asked them to go to the Brahmins, who were engaged nearby in performing yajna, or sacrifice, and to get some food from that yajna. Being so ordered by the Lord, all the cowherd boys went to the Brahmins and asked them for food, but they were denied. After this, the cowherd boys begged food from the wives of the Brahmins. All these wives were very much devoted to Lord Krishna in spontaneous love, and as soon as they heard the request of the cowherd boys and understood that Krishna wanted some food, they immediately left the place of sacrifice. They were very much chastised for this by their husbands, and they were ready to give up their lives. It is the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental service, loving service of the Lord. Om Janati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalagara Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Jata Padakamanam, Sri Guru Vaishnavacha, Sri Rupam Sharushatam, Shahagana Raghunatam, Vitam Stam Sajimam, Shadvaitam Savadhutam, Parishana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shagana Vadita Sri Vishakha Pranamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jayarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tabda Kamsha Nagogangi Radhe Vrindavaneshuri Prashadhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Mohi Priye Vancha Kondataru Vyascha Kupasantho Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasani that the devotees are begging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa. He's a great devotee. He's dedicated his life to you. He just wants to have your darshan. And if he can have your association, then he may very well give up his life. That's the plea. Not just a plea, but it was a fact that the king was feeling that without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the use of my life? And so he might very well have given up his life if he were further denied the opportunity to have the Lord's association. So this argument is being made that if one doesn't get the object of his life, then he may give up his life. We see this in the material world, that sometimes a girl jilts a guy and he commits suicide, or goes the other way around. He rejects the girl and she figures, what is the use of living without him? This is the mundane perverted reflection. The reality is also there, that the pure devotee feels that what is the use of my life if I can't be engaged in the devotional service of Krishna? And the examples here of the wives of the Brahmins, some of whom also thought that if our husbands are preventing us, then better to die than to go on living. Or finally, last line in the purport, it's the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So he doesn't, not suicide, but dedication, that my life is meant for the service of Krishna. Mat pranatas tu sevanatva Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our life is meant for the service of Krishna. And a devotee is ready to sacrifice all other considerations, even his very life, for the service of the Lord. And that's the nature of a pure devotee. Or from another angle of vision, sannyas means voluntary death. It's a terrible thing when a man dies, leaving behind his affectionate wife, his dependent children, his friends, his family, his everything he's worked for his whole life. When he dies, it's such a tragedy. But for the service of the Lord, a devotee may voluntarily die. In any case, he has to die. Jantasi Purovritu. For one who is born, death is certain. So everyone has to die. But there are two ways of dying. One is to die ingloriously, stuck in the pursuit of gratification of the senses, or stuck in trying to make a comfortable situation in this material world. And the other way, and then die kicking and screaming. Or, as Prabhupada had the experience of one of his acquaintances, on his deathbed, the man was asking the doctor, couldn't you just extend my life a little longer? I still have some unfinished work. Holding on. But, so that's one way to go, like that. And the other is to volunteer. That let me, why should I die that way? Let me die right now by giving up my material life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. He had a very affectionate wife, Lakshmi Devi, and dependent mother, Satyamata. And still, and he was the only remaining son, and still he accepted the renounced order of life for the benefit of others. Sri Chaitanya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he gave up the small world of home and family for the greater world of Krishna and all humanity. So this is one of the activities of a devotee, to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord in whatever situation, whether he's brahmachari, vrasta, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Every devotee naturally wants to dedicate his life for the service of Krishna. And one of the items also in later life is to accept the vanaprastha ashram and then sannyas. Eka yukti ache jadi kar avatam kuminam kaya vidine ma tari rahe tara pran. Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. There is a way, he suggested, by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had refused to meet King Prataparudra on the grounds that he was a king. And king means sense gratification. Sandarshinam vishayinam yoshida atayoshitam cha ahantamata bhakshanto pisadhu. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that for one who's serious about crossing over the ocean of material existence to see a woman for the idea of sense gratification, or to associate with a vishayi, an enjoyer of this material world, is worse than drinking poison. So he refused that. If you ask me again, I'll leave. But I'm not going to meet this king. I'm sannyasi, I'm not going to have anything to do with a king. Detestable, sense-gratifying king. King means, by definition, sense-gratifying. So he refused. But Nityananda Prabhu said there's a way that you don't have to meet him, but still he could go on living. Eka bahirvas shani deha kripakori tahapan pran rake tomar ashantari. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outer garments to the king would live, hoping to see you sometime in the future. Purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was thus very tactfully suggesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give a piece of his old clothing to the king. Even though the king was not to meet the Lord, the king would then be pacified by receiving such a cloth. The king was very anxious to see the Lord, yet it was not possible for the Lord to see him. Just to resolve the situation, Nityananda Prabhu suggested that the Lord send an old piece of clothing. Thus the king would understand that the Lord was showing mercy to him. The king would then not do anything drastic, like giving up his life or becoming a mendicant. So some sign of hope if the Lord sends his outer garments. Prabhupada, tumi shab param vidvan ye phalo hoy she karo samadhan. The Lord said, "Since you are all very learned personalities, whatever you decide, I shall accept." This is one of the attractive features of the Lord. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority. But he placed himself as subordinate. You're all very learned men. Whatever you do, I'll accept. Not that I'm the Supreme Authority, I'll make every decision. You decide. Sometimes we saw that Srila Prabhupada also did that. He would place things before his leaders and say, "You decide. And whatever you decide, I'll go along with." Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would do that also. That's one way of training. Because everyone with authority wants to hold on to authority. It's like money. Authority and money are quite similar. No one wants to let go of it. And in fact, one wants more. If I'm in charge of this, I also want to be in charge of that. And once I'm in charge, I want to make sure that no one steps out of sync with my plan or desire. Authority. So as money is intoxicating, authority is intoxicating. That's one of the attractions, false attractions, of having a wife. One thinks that I'll have authority. He later finds out that it doesn't work quite the way he imagined. Then he gets a dog. The dogs are usually more obedient. But this is the nature of material consciousness. It has two divisions. I'm the enjoyer, and I'm the controller. Ishwaroham aham bhavami. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. So one wants to control, whether it's a company or a country or a wife or a family or a dog or a computer. That's one of the attractions of the computer. You give it instructions and it does what you want, presumably. You're in charge. Oh, control and authority. People aspire to be Brahma because he has so much authority. But as a matter of training, Srila Prabhupada relinquished authority. You decide. You manage. You do. Especially in Prabhupada's last days, because he knew that I'm not going to continue. So then he practically gave every decision to his... wouldn't even hear what the issue was. Let the GDC decide. Let the GDC decide. But even years earlier, "For this I have created the GDC. You know, don't bother me with all of these things." Handing on authority. Materially, we think that they won't, they're not needed, they won't do it right. And one wants to control everything. But an intelligent person thinks that I have to hand this over to the next generation, I have to hand this over to successors. And so he voluntarily hands over authority, even though he might make a better decision. He steps back and you decide. So even Krishna does that. Sometimes there's some decision to be made. And Krishna, instead of deciding the matter, he refers the matter to Uttama. What is your opinion? Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati, so a very learned person. So what is your advice? What is your advice? That's the sign of an intelligent person. Even if he's very capable, still he wants to hear the advice of learned persons. And if he's intelligent, then when learned persons give their advice, then he accepts, yes, you're a learned man, this is your advice. Not that I know everything. So he can act in that way. So even Krishna sometimes takes that position, that he accepts the advice of learned counsel, learned advisors. So here it can be taken that way, but it could also be taken that I don't want to say yes, so you decide. You want me to give this garment to the king, that means you want me to have some connection with him. So I'm not going to say yes, but you decide, and whatever you decide, I'm not going to go along with that. You're all learned persons. So whatever you decide, I'll accept. Tabe Nityananda Gosai Govindara Pash Magya Laila Prabhur Eka Bhairvash. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then obtained an external garment used by the Lord by requesting it from Govinda. She Bhairvash Sarvabhauma Pash Dilo Sarvabhauma She Vashtra Rajare Patila Patila. Thus Nityananda Prabhu delivered the old cloth into the care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent it to the king. Vastrapad Rajar Huela Anandita-man Prabhu Rupa Kodikare Vastraya Pujan. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Purport. This is also the conclusion of the Vedic injunctions. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth, everything in relation to him is on the same platform. The king had great affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and although he did not see the Lord, he had nonetheless already attained the conclusion of devotional service. Immediately upon receiving the cloth from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the king began to worship it, accepting it as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord's clothing, bedding, slippers, and everything required as an ordinary necessity are all transformations of Shesha, Vishnu, the expansion of Sri Baladeva. Thus, the cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but other forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything connected to the Lord is worshipable. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that just as Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's place, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And as Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly, the paraphernalia in Vrindavan, the trees, roads, river, everything is worshipable. A pure devotee thus sings, Jaya Jaya Vrindavan Vashi Yatajan, all glories to the residents of Vrindavan. So this is Vaishnava philosophy, that Krishna doesn't just mean Krishna, but it means Krishna with everything connected with Krishna. His form, his qualities, his activities, his devotees, his paraphernalia, his place, they're also not different from Krishna. Araja Bhagavan Prajesha Tanayam Tantam Vrindavan. The Lord is worshipable, and his Vrindavan Dham is also worshipable, because it's also the energy of thee, Lord, with manifestation of thee, Lord. Prabhupada mentions manifest by Sri Baladev, Ananta. So it's also Krishna. Not that everything, that there's only Krishna and then everything else is Maya. Or everything else is no. That finally becomes the Mayavad philosophy. That there's only the absolute truth and everything else is Maya. Any form, any quality, any past science, anything. It's all Maya. Only the absolute, kaivalyadvaita, the pure, undiluted, undifferentiated absolute is real, and everything else is false. This is their idea. The absolute has no form, no qualities, no nothing. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord presents himself as having energies. In the Shruti also, Parasya Shakti Vividaya Shrute, the absolute truth has various energies. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kammanu bhutire vicha hamkaramati yamme bindam prakatirashtita apureyam idustvanyam prakati vidhime pranam jiva bhutam mahabhava vyedam tarjate. These are all my energies. And shakti matayura vena, the energy and the source of the energy are identical. From that point of view, everything is the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. That's also stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where whatever he sees, he doesn't exactly see that thing, but he sees the worshipable Supreme Personality of God. That's the Mahabhagavata platform. Wherever he looks, he sees Krishna. So we may not be on that platform, but we're trained to see that here's the paraphernalia of the Lord, here's the, of course, even the material things, except for cell phones, they're mine. Battery is low. Told you it was mine. The ecologists want to treat the earth as sacred, they want to treat nature as sacred, but their philosophical underpinnings are weak or non-existent because they don't recognize whose nature it is. They're nature worshippers, Poma Ijati, but they don't know what is the source of this nature? What is the substrate, the underlying foundation? Asanchama pratishtam te jagadavurnishram. The demons think there's nothing more than nature. Sentimental people think there's some sort of God. There's only nature. But a person who has deeper understanding sees that behind any kind of energy, there must be an energetic controller. Behind any orderly manifestation, there has to be an intelligent source. So wherever he looks, he'll see Krishna. So his understanding is superior, that if we are going to respect nature or properly use nature. It's not just because we want more sense gratification, and if we use it nicely, we'll get more out of it. This is the mundane ecology. They're friends of the earth, they're concerned about the earth, they're want to respect the resources of the earth so that they can enjoy it more. And so they're simply in the guise of being something noble or something advanced. It's just the same old sense gratification. We want to enjoy. But the devotee will see that this is Krishna's property and therefore it should be properly used for Krishna's service. Nothing should be wasted, nothing should be improperly employed. Srila Prabhupada was seeing that they're cutting down all of these trees for publishing rubbish, newspapers and magazines and so many things. So they're killing all of these living beings who are Krishna's partner, Krishna's living beings. They're killing them for publishing rubbish. So that's a waste of Krishna's energy. If the trees are to be cut, the only paper that should be used is the paper used to glorify the Lord, because it's His. The trees belong to Him. And sometimes we see that people steal into a forest or steal into someone else's property and start cutting the trees for fire. But it's theft because it's not their property. So nothing is our property. Everything belongs to Krishna. So everything should be used for Krishna. Then everything is spiritualized. Everything becomes spiritual. When Prabhupada's favorite example, of course, was the microphone. The microphone is being used to glorify Krishna so that it has spiritual value. But everything probably would be unhappy to see lights left burning or fans left turning. Because this is Krishna's energy and it's being wasted. The tap left open. Everything is Krishna's. Then what to speak of the particular paraphernalia of the Lord? The Maya is also related to Krishna. The material energy is also related to Krishna. Then what to speak of the particular paraphernalia, the intimate devotees of the Lord, the very abode of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the attire of the Lord, the paraphernalia of the Lord. This is all very closely connected. Just as with a king, the whole kingdom belongs to him, but his throne, his dress, his queen, his court, they're very intimately connected with the king. So anyone who sees the throne or the queen or a picture of the court will at once think of the king, because these are all very much connected. The whole kingdom is connected. But these things are very close to the king. So everything is the energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the cloth worn by the Lord was his own paraphernalia, as close to him as his skin. So when the king received this cloth, then he was worshipping it just as he was worshipping the Lord. And the devotees do this. They get some, just as sometimes we have something that belonged to Srila Prabhupada, his cane, his shoes, his dictaphone. So we treat that as a worshipable object because it was so closely connected with him. So in the same way, this cloth worn by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king was seen as being non-different from the Lord. If a devotee has a staunch devotional attitude, all these conclusions will be awakened or revealed within the heart. Yasya deve parapantir yuta deve tatanura tasyaite kaditani artha prakashante parapantir. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Thus, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra and other devotees, We should learn to worship everything belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is referred to by Lord Shiva as Tadihanam. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Aradhananam Sardesham Vishnur Aradhanam Puram Tasmat Paritaram Devi Tadihanam Samarjanam. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worship of Tadiya, or anything belonging to Vishnu. Sri Vishnu is Sachidananda Vigraha. Similarly, the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master, and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Sachidananda Vigraha, Guru, Vaishnavas, and things used by them must be considered Tadiya, and without a doubt worshipable by all living beings. We're worshipping the Tulsi plant because she's Tadiya. Of course, all the plants belong to Krishna, but we're not worshipping the ordinary plant. The rose is very beautiful, very fragrant, but we're not worshipping the rose plant. But the Tulsi plant is always at the lotus feet of Vishnu. So we're particularly worshipping Tulsi Devi as Tadiya, the one obtaining, the hunter who was devised by Narada Muni. You just sit here, make a little hut, and chant Hare Krishna and worship Tulsi Devi. That means that's as good as worshipping. Better than worshipping the Lord. Better than worshipping the Lord is worshipping the devotee of the Lord. So the hunter was advised that you sit and keep the Tulsi plant and chant Hare Krishna. When that prostitute came to visit Haridas Thakur, she came to his hut. There was a Tulsi plant there. She offered her obeisances to the Tulsi plant, offered her obeisances to Haridas Thakur, then sat down with her, or not sat down, but presented herself. So the commentators said that she was becoming purified because she was worshipping Tulsi. She offered obeisances to Haridas Thakur. Even though she had some other idea in mind, by this worship she was becoming purified. By this worship she was becoming purified. So the Guru is intimately connected with Krishna. The Vaishnavas are intimately connected with Krishna. Therefore, one is advised never to offend Vaishnava, because they're intimately connected with Krishna. Rather, the Vaishnavas should be worshipped. Madhpanta puja vyadika. Okay, are there some questions? Yes, Madhu Mangal. Hare Krishna. Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Our book distributors are worshipable.
Maharaj, thank you very much for giving us this for me, because this is one of my most favorite pastimes of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the instruction I take from this pastime is that I always related to George Harrison's song, My Sweet Lord, where he always says, I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to see you, Lord. So I was thinking about King Pataburudra was the same, that he was very eager to see the Lord. So the eagerness is the wonderful part of our service. You're talking about service, eagerness for our service, to serve the devotees and ultimately to serve Krishna. So I just wanted to think, maybe you could expand on it.
Eagerness to serve the devotee, eagerness to serve Krishna. That was Maharaj Prataparudra's, just see how eager he was. Could have said, yeah, I'd like to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, if I can, still I have my kingdom, I have my wife, I have my everything, so. Anyway, guess you can't win them all. But he considered that, what is the use of my kingdom? What is the use of my wife? What is the use of my everything? If I can't have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything else is, what is that? Shunyayatam jagat sarva. Everything else is zero. If I can't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So intent on getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If I can't get his mercy, I'll just give up everything and become a beggar. I'll give up my life. So wasn't a peripheral issue. Then it'd be nice to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is intense desire. So that intense desire, Prabhupada said that eagerness is like an engine. Everything runs on the engine. So when you have enthusiasm, when you have eagerness, then it's like an engine, and so much can be accomplished. We've seen so much has been accomplished in the Krishna consciousness movement because of eagerness. First of all, Srila Prabhupada's eagerness, his strong desire, and then the desires of the devotees to render service. One time one devotee began speaking after Prabhupada's class, a question of time. He said, Srila Prabhupada, we have a... He was sort of a speaker, so he began, Srila Prabhupada, we have a great desire to distribute your Back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, just keep that desire, that's all. The desire is everything. That desire is there, so much can be accomplished. Yes?
What do you do?
Loud, loud.
If you offend a devotee and if you go and apologize and he doesn't accept your apology, he doesn't want to excuse the offense, and what should be the mode of an offender and what should be the mode of the offended?
You offend someone and then you beg for forgiveness and he doesn't give it. So then what should be your mood and what should be his mood? Our mood can be that my apology hasn't been satisfactory. You know, we offend someone and we say, sorry. Or there's a particular kind of apology called a mealy-mouthed, equivocal apology, where we say, if anything that's happened as a result of my actions has offended you, I'm sorry. It means, I didn't really do anything wrong. But if somehow or other, because of the kind of person you are, you take it that way, then I'm sorry. To which the answer might be given, well, if that's an adequate apology, I accept it. Again, keywords if. So we may take it that my apology was not sincere, my apology was not heartfelt, or I haven't understood how deeply I've offended this person. I thought it was just, sorry, I borrowed your Bhagavatam or something, and, shouldn't have been a big deal, but anyway, I'm sorry. But he's taken it very seriously. So I've taken it lightly, but he's taking it seriously. I have to take it more seriously. We can take it that way. But somehow, how to get this, the forgiveness of the Vaishnavas.
and how he should feel. In one sense, it's not for us to dictate. We're the offender. If we commit an offense to the government, it's not for us to say the government should be merciful. The government may be merciful, the king or president may be merciful, but we're the offender. We're not the person, the person to be in the position of saying, well, you know, you're supposed to be merciful. We're the offender. The first thing is we shouldn't be offenders. That's the best policy. Very carefully avoid offending Vaishnavas. That's practically a foundational principle of Krishna consciousness, that we should very seriously try to avoid offending Vaishnavas. Actually, we should try to avoid offending anyone. But especially we should try to avoid offending Vaishnavas. Worse than offending Krishnas to offend the Vaishnava. So we should try to avoid that, and somehow if we do offend the devotee or he takes offense, then very seriously we should try to get forgiveness of that devotee. Yes? Excuse me?
Is it possible for a devotee to keep a dog as a pet?
In South Africa? Yeah. Not as a pet, but as a security measure. You might have. But not as the object of our affection, please. We're trying to cultivate the love of God, not as Prabhupada Salaam said, love of God. The advantage of having a dog is that you can be the master. But our philosophy is that we're trying to realize that we're the servant. Otherwise, I just look at the trouble people go through. You know, they keep a dog and they're working hard to make money and then they spend their money to feed a dog. And I don't know in this country, but and then you have to walk the dog. The dog, woof, woof, woof. All right. The dog does his business, and at least in America, the law is that you have to clean up after the dog. So you see these gentlemen nicely dressed picking up dog stool. So all of that trouble so that I can be the master. So I can be the master. But our philosophy is that this is not what we are. That's our problem, that we're thinking we're the master. Let me at least be the master of the talk. But Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, Vaishnava Thakura, Tomara Kukura. What is the rest of it? Something? I've forgotten the third line. Anyway, the meaning is, Vaishnava devotee, please accept me as your dog. So our goal is not to have a dog, our goal is to be the dog. To be the dog. The dog is known for its obedience, that's why we want a dog. Tell it to sit and it sits. So the devotee prays, let me become the dog of the Vaishnava. Whatever he orders for me, Kodeshe Vaishnava, whatever you say. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, but I do have to say something in defense of Bob's. I actually gods are amazing. They, like for instance, the one time I had to ask the people and the dog got from ticks when we get some disease. They
tick fever.
Tick fever, yeah. Anyway, and I took him to the vet and I got him fixed up. And I didn't see that dog again for about 9 years. But when I saw that dog again, that dog came and bit my feet.
Just
and,
see.
And they died. He remembered that whole thing I had done for him all those years ago. You know, I mean, that's something important we should do. You know, people do things for us and we just forget. And like that, because people can learn things from dogs. Dogs love with an unconditional love as well. You know, you can chastise them or whatever, but next thing they'll come and be loving again. You know, they don't hold it as a grudge. So I think that to a certain extent, we should also accept that we can learn things from dogs. I'm so glad Papa said we shouldn't work with dogs because I really can't stand it myself. But at the same time, I do think that we shouldn't just put dogs down. And I think that sorry about the pun. If people have children, then it can also be useful to teach them certain aspects.
Okay, let's hear it for the dogs. And dogs and children, is that what I heard? This is serious, but yeah, the dog is looked upon as sort of a mean in the sense of lowly creature. You call someone a dog, it's like a great insult. And here in some countries, we keep dogs as pets, but it's, in other countries, they're just treated as like pests. Just a scroungy, like a rat or a similar obnoxious creature. But as you said, the dog has some good qualities. And therefore, we can learn from the dog. As the Brahmin said that the dog is also my Bhante Brahmin. The dog is one of my gurus. Especially the loyalty of the dog. That's the special you also mentioned. Did something for the dog, and the dog became your friend for years and years. Gratitude and loyalty. Faithfulness. So that, therefore, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, but let me become like a dog for the Vaishnava. The dog sometimes gives up his life. Prabhupada told the story, there was some child, and he was being attacked. Or some attacker came, the dog pulled the child aside and protected it. And the master later came home and saw that the child is gone, and saw the blood on by the crib, and saw the dog sitting there with blood on its jaws, and thought that the dog has killed the child. And so he took out his gun and has pointed it and shot the dog. And then the baby started crying. But Prabhupada's point was that the dog was so faithful that it didn't protest that you're going to shoot me. Don't you understand that I've done so much service for you? No, you're going to shoot me, all right. You're the master. And the dog is so faithful. So the devotee or the disciple aspires to be as good as the dog, to be so faithful to the spiritual master, to be so faithful to Krishna.
generally we come across devotees and we get into some conversation. And after some time we see that we are in the offensive zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to say, devotee, oh, we are getting into offensive zone. And what we generally hear is, no, Prabhu, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we put the line between truth and offense?
Where do we put the line between truth and offense? Truth may also be offensive. To discuss the ill fame of the devotee is also offensive. It may be true, but that's not the characteristic of a Vaishnava. To dwell on, you know, somebody has a limp. It's true. So we talk about how funny he walks, but he's a Vaishnava. That's an offense. To see the Vaishnava from the point of view of external vision, criticized because of his bad complexion or his physical defect or even his mental characteristics. To see in those terms is offensive, even if it's true. Even if it's true. So we should try to appreciate the good characteristics. There, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, I think, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you would never hear about the criticism of devotees. He would just say, all the devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord. That was his example. Try to appreciate the good characteristics of the devotee. He may be whatever he may be, but he's engaged in the service of Krishna. Manusyanam sahasrishu, thousands and thousands. Someone is engaged in the service of Krishna and we're criticizing him because of this and that. You should be careful. And what's it to us? Have we been appointed? Is that our prescribed duty? We've been asked to sit and discuss the ill fame of the devotee. That's our prescribed duty, our engagement given to us by higher authorities. Someone may have the engagement, he has to look at something, make some decision, but is it that the whole world has to discuss the faults of devotees? Then that's his fault. We should be careful. That's the difference. There's Bhagavad Gita and Tenpa Jalpa. To discuss the deficiencies of the Vaishnavas is Pajalpa. And to discuss the glories of the devotees is Bhagavad Gita.
Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Gaur Vrinde.